Why have so many moved away from the hope of the gospel? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul is made a minister. And we're looking at scriptural reasons or scriptural statements about why somebody would ever move away from the gospel, from the hope of the gospel. And didn't get horribly far this morning, so we got a little part of the ways here. We got to there. 1 Timothy. Here we go. 1 Timothy. More things. What do we do this morning for those that did not make it this morning? We did the introduction. We're not talking about leaving church. We're leaving the hope of the gospel, which is what Paul preached. Why would anybody leave Paul preaching when we are told to follow Paul? We are told that anybody teaches anything other than what Paul teaches, as far as to us, he'll be accursed over that thing. And what's happening? 1792 is when a book was written that really pushed forth the Great Commission. And it's been gone ever since. Lost people can't get it because their minds are blinded by the devil himself, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ be seen. And then we see where the Christians could equally be blind, but their heart would be blinded because they're looking at things in the world. They're walking like other Gentiles, like lost people, and they're thinking with their own mind, the vanity of their mind. So that's what we talked about this morning. Then we looked at 1 Thessalonians 2:18 that says that the devil hindered Paul. So if the devil hindered Paul, he certainly isn't going to quit today. He's going to hinder Paul's work in each one of our lives, do everything he can. Now, I suppose this in some way is how is it that the devil has hindered our lives? I guess you could look at it that way. Not only have we so many people turned, moving away from the hope of the gospel, we could equally say, what has the devil done to get us to step away from Paul's teachings, if that ever happens to anybody? We went through the ones this morning. There are those who try to turn you away. That is their goal, to get you away from your King James Bible and away from Paul, and in some cases away from this church. There are those who just can't seem to live by faith. Their works are still, they still get them down, and they still depress them and frustrate them, and they still struggle with the works. And really, the struggle, it's not to be there. You do the best you can. We talked a little bit about people. The reason they moved away is because they were not grounded and settled. You haven't got it down yet. You're not solid on that stuff yet. Then tossed to and fro. They haven't heard what Paul teaches. I guess if you don't hear it, you're not going to know what's being taught. So that's very important. We mentioned one comment about trusting in the wrong baptism. You trust in the wrong baptism, you can find yourself calling yourself a Christian, but not be a Christian. Being the fact that it's a spiritual baptism, not a water one. Before or after. We mentioned some of the verses in there about how there were people that went out into this world and their faith was a testimony. Their faith, which has allowed them or taught them to turn into God away from idols. People saw that. And why do people step away from Paul? Because they don't see that kind of faith in people today. Then we just mentioned a little bit in Thessalonians about how not all men have not faith. I mean, not everybody out there has got faith, and they're wicked and unreasonable people. And we need to be watching for those kind of people. They drag us down. So tonight, we got some new ones. Nothing really new. Some will be really quick, but I think we'll look at some of these titles here. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know we know this one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, not last days, but just latter times, some shall depart from the faith. They're not losing their salvation. They're not giving up their salvation. Doesn't say depart from faith or his faith or their faith. It's the faith. And you recognize that Paul talks about the faith is his whole entire preaching of what it is that we believe, and the faith. That's instead of going off to the world. And they're giving heed to seducing spirits. Okay, so we've been seduced. Something's going to seduce us. And doctrines of devils. Then he goes on and lists. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbid to marry. Commanded to abstain from meat. Those four things in there. I just was thinking about this. This might be stretching it to some people, but I don't believe it would be. I wouldn't say it. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. How do you speak a lie in hypocrisy? I mean, you're going to tell something that's not true. And it's going to cause hypocrisy. I think that's the Great Commission in general. Think about it. You preach the Great Commission, you're preaching a lie. And there are people trying to live the Great Commission and they can't. It's hypocrisy. It's not possible to live all that sort of a thing. We're not supposed to. So, could he be referring to, why else would he say speaking lies in hypocrisy in these latter times? And then this conscience seared with a hot iron. So, we got a conscience. We know that the Gentiles in the olden days, before the law, they were still judged by their conscience. Old Testament, they still had their conscience to follow. And it's been seared over all these years. But we're talking today about giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And I just got to think, you know what that could be? That could be some really hot, hard Southern preaching. Because they just, what's it with a hot iron? It's got to be something that's hotly given. Well, that's how a lot of those folks are. They go to church just to get yelled at and screamed at. And when they get done with church, ask them what the guy taught you and have no idea. They're just up here and they get saved again, or they get cleaned up again or whatever, do their little thing and they go home. What do you talk about? I don't know. What are some Bible verses you went through? I don't know. But he sure scared me. That's that hot preaching stuff. And I, you know, you get your conscience seared because you're taught all the time what? You're lousy. You're rotten. And you better confess up and get clean again. And because if you don't, God, you know, and they work you down. And it's some of these emails that I've read are these people are realizing that isn't the way the Lord wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be beat down and depressed and frustrated at our walk. We can't walk the way we're supposed to walk. Although everything that Paul tells us that we should do, we can do. It's just a matter of choice. Do we choose it or not? But there's not, now there's another searing that's out there from the world. Sure, our conscience gets seared. We're on TV all the time, videos all the time, crummy music all the time, good music all the time, false gospel, Great Commission stuff in our Christian movies all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time. What do you expect? Our one missionary in Ukraine who gave out, or who showed the Passion of the Christ. Is that what that's called? The Passion of the Christ? Showed that movie, has been showing that movie for years now as a witnessing tool to get people to come to his little missionary church. And I'm thinking, you're using a Catholic movie that's not even telling them the truth at all, and you're doing that. Now they're using that firefighter movie or whatever that thing, firefighting or firefighter movie or whatever. It's a new movie. It's a big hit everywhere because it's got adventure and stuff. And it's false. It's a lie. It's a false gospel in there. And everybody loves this movie. So now I read in his email the other day that now he's shown that movie to everybody in the Ukraine. Those are lies. So, does our conscience get seared with a hot iron by a hot preaching that's not telling the truth? Is the Great Commission lies in hypocrisy? Then you got the forbidding to marry thing. Well, that's pretty obvious who that is. You can't get more obvious than that one right there, really. You know, the priests and the nuns and all that stuff. And then command to abstain from meats. Well, we've got different denominations in the world that think along those lines. Which seems to be really, if you think about it, a pretty good typology, because most preaching has no meat in it today in the churches. So it's just one of those things. So there's one thing people will do to move away from the hope of the gospel. They'll follow a seducing spirit, doctrine of the devil. And that's tough stuff, doctrines of devils. That's pretty hard. That's like we said there in Revelation chapter 2, during the Philadelphian church age, the Great Commission would be synagogue of Satan. Well, why not? His ministers are ministers of righteousness. They belong to Satan. It's a Jewish teaching. And it says those who say they're Jews and they're not. Pretty hard stuff in there, really. Anyway, so there's that one. Seducing spirits, music. Appeals to your feelings and your flesh and that sort of a thing. So there's a lot of reasons in that one right there. Let's look at a quick one. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We know this one already. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Love of money. The love of money. So we know that one already. And it just says there that they'll err from the faith. The love of money could cause people to err from the faith. The love of money. That we want money so bad that we will err from the faith. Then it comes along with sorrows. Pierce yourself with many sorrows. Just because you love money. Now, look at verse 17. There's nothing wrong with being rich, of which we are compared to the world. Charge them that are rich in this world. That's okay to be rich. Somebody's got to be rich somewhere. That they be not high-minded. Okay, it's okay to have a lot of money, but don't be high-minded about it. And don't trust in those uncertain riches, but in the living God. So there's one of the things that would cause people to move away from the hope of the gospel. Money. Love of money. Too much money. What is one of the characteristics of the modern church today? What is godliness to them? Gain. So that's money. That's growth. That's not just numbers in church. That's money. And we have a lot of money. We're doing well. Must be God blessing us, kind of a thing. And if it is our desire to get more money in here, which we could use, but that's not our goal. In order for me to get more money into the coffers for LD to write those checks, I got to preach something else. I probably need to apologize for a bunch of stuff. I probably need to resign. We could get more. We could make things happen in here to get these people back into this place. Is that because we want the money, or do we want to preach the truth as such? Anyway, there's that one. Let's look at another one. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's a quick one. One of the things that Timothy had, I got to get the name right here. I think it's Eunice. Lois and Eunice, right? Isn't that his mom and grandma? Yep, grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice or Eunice or however however Scorby pronounces that thing. But see, we look at Second Timothy chapter 3:15, and we see that Paul says to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's why it's so important for our children to learn this stuff. I mean, I can't emphasize that too much, that our kids, they're going to be out in a Great Commission world, I mean, just to the max, or they're going to be out in a, what's that guy's name, Rick Warren kind of world out there. They're going to be out there in a hate Christianity type of world or whatever, but they probably have enough religion from us in them that they probably don't like some things. But they still know that God is God and Jesus is Jesus and the Bible is probably the Bible, and they grow up that way. And they're just candidates for the Antichrist. They're just candidates to be snookered by the ways of peace, you know. Mr. Answer Man for the economy, because they have a love of money and all this stuff. And he says right there, listen, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. So, we have people that haven't known that from a child. And it doesn't take much sometimes for those people, again, to move away from the hope of the gospel as they get older. They quit. They're not interested. We talked about that last week. Or 2 weeks ago. Already gone is already wrong. So, that's sad to see, but understandable. But hopefully someday they'll turn back to a rightly divided Bible if they're allowed to even have one. Well, we can look at another one here. Well, we know that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Let's go to that one here. We have people leaving the hope of the gospel because maybe they're disappointed because the blessing of Abraham wasn't what they thought it was going to be. That kind of a thing. Look at Galatians chapter 3, and if you're really ambidextrous, is that the word? If you're talented with the fingers, there we go. And you can go to Genesis chapter 12. What are we looking for here? Are we trying to support Israel, expect God to bless America? Or are we looking at Galatians 3:14, where it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith? We're talking about land here? We're talking about Romans chapter 4, the imputation of God's righteousness. So that's what people need to be looking for. We hear in the news all the time that we're going to get in trouble because we're bad-mouthing Israel. We've been bad-mouthing Israel for a long time. And that's an Old Testament kingdom of heaven promise. America's turned away from the Word of God. And as a result, we're not even hearing about the blessing of Abraham these days. Let's look at another one. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. By the way, on the website out there, the notes are online at this very moment. If you want to turn to that thing, you can find those notes out there. 2 Timothy 3, 9. Here's another reason people are moving away from the hope of the gospel. They're quitting Paul. They're not interested in what Paul has to say of the risen Savior. The hope of the gospel. That's all we have left anymore is the hope of the gospel, the hope of the truth. 2 Timothy 3, 9, you know these verses here. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. That's what's happening. Where's the power of prayer? Well, haven't seen it, so I guess the kids are quitting. Where's the joy that's supposed to come from hearing these sermons? Timothy and Titus, and the wife making the decisions about working, and the men making the decision about making some things within the home, and turning these things off, and turning these things off, and turning on some stuff that's clean and good to do, and get that teaching into them, and that sort of a thing, and it doesn't work, and they're seeing the folly. They're seeing the folly of modern Christianity. Look at, all the way through verses 1 through 8. Shows us that as a modern Christian. Look at verses 4 and 5. adding to this folly, we have what? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So how can something be real if somebody would rather put pleasures over God? Pleasures over church. Pleasures over preaching. Pleasures over Bible study. Pleasures over Bible reading. Pleasures over just doing right, knowing what's right, and making a decision. You know, we're going to stop doing this, family. It's going to be hard because we all want to do this, and it's a fleshy thing. We learn these things. No, let's put lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That adds to the folly. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. May look like a Christian, but it's not happening. It's not there. So anyway, there's a bunch of places to go for that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about this folly thing. I'm excited when I hear people tell me that they've come to realize what religion is, and they realize what's wrong with it all. Those are the kind of people I want to show Paul to. I'm sorry, the risen Savior to, through Paul. Maybe that'll help some folks. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. We're finding out that our faith has stood in the wisdom of men. I didn't realize this kind of stuff because I believed what a man taught me. I believe the way he presented it, using the verses he did, sure made sense to me. Not having read from the beginning to the end, or skimmed through it or whatever. See, we follow the wisdom of men. Do you understand this kind of stuff, or is it because I taught you? What will happen when somebody else comes in here? Will you go, well, that's good too. That's good. Yeah, we never heard that from Paulson. That's good. And you still probably haven't read your Bible yet, some people. You know, you got to be prepared for whatever can happen. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. How about Demas? We have people today that see the folly of modern Christianity, so they turn to the wisdom of men. And that's just dangerous. We have people that want to be a Demas. They forsake Paul's teachings and they love this present world. They love it out there. The high-tech stuff, the fancy stuff, the big pay, the toys they can get for adults and... Demas loved this present world. Left Paul. Forsook Paul. We know in Corinthians and Timothy, we have those that were turned unto Satan. So when they leave the hope of the gospel, where are they going? They're going off to the world. They didn't like that. Modern Christianity just didn't work. It was folly. Then you've got in 1 Timothy 5, you've got somebody that turns aside after Satan. Well, isn't that a hard thing? Well, that must be everybody that doesn't do Paul. No, that phrase is reserved for certain people. Do you know without looking, you know who that is? Who has turned aside after Satan, does it say there? Do you know who that is? That's a tough one. Go ahead and look it up. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15. See if you were right with your thinking. That's in that little section right there that you don't have to yell and scream like a southern preacher. You just read those Bible verses and tell them God wrote that and you'll cause some people to choke. Who is it that turned aside after Satan? Look at verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. That's the other side of the coin. That's pretty tough stuff. 1 Timothy 5:15. Okay, let's go to another one. Another reason people are moving away from the hope of the gospel. By the way, you combine the love of money with the folly of modern Christianity, and turning aside after Satan. You know what you can get when you turn aside after Satan? You can get more what? You can get more money. And sad as it is, the world is forcing us to do that. You know, get them both out there at work. Get the careers going for both of them. We need that kind of money. Well, no, you don't need that kind of money. You need that kind of money to live that way. You know, kind of a thing. But anyway, that's some hard stuff. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Did I tell you that already? Probably not. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Now, we may be forced into those situations, but it's a tough call. Health reasons, a death in the family, husband dying, all sorts of things can cause this world is still cursed. It's not going to work until the Lord comes back, and we're not going to get it ready. So he comes back. That's a misnomer too. Romans 12:3. Here's another one. What can cause people to turn away from the hope of the gospel? Pride. Just pride. Simple as that. You get tired of hearing this, your pride gets hurt. After a while, you turn away from this stuff. Look at Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then you look at 1 Timothy 3:6, and there's a warning about a novice, in a pastoral standpoint or a preacher standpoint or whatever, not a novice. 1 Timothy 3:6. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. A brand new preacher out of school or whatever, maybe he's never done that before, never done any sermons. That's why I've always heard this verse preached. But now think of it this way. You've got yourself walking down to Walmart, and you've got some street preachers out there, and you've got this little boy walking up to you and standing with a sign or a megaphone thing or whatever, and he tells you, an adult, that you're going to go to hell. And he starts preaching at you. You know what that is? That's a little novice standing there. He has no right in the world. I'll tell these street preachers if ever I get a chance, your children should not be preaching to adults. Just no way. No way, Jose. And why not? They're little novices. They're just little kids. They're being obedient. They're probably doing a better job than some pastors, but that's not the point. It says, lest being lifted up with pride. Those little kids are going to grow up with pride that they told all these adults they're going to go to hell. And it says right there, fall into the condemnation of the devil himself. So those out there, consider that. I'll preach to street preachers. Listen, that's a man's battle out there. And your little children don't need to be there. Your little girls don't need to be there. And your wife doesn't need to be there. Your wife doesn't need to have those things said to her or looked at like they will look at her, or for her to see what she'll see in those public places like that. That's not a place for a woman or children. I'm real strong on that. So, you know, whatever. But I do like this verse for little kids preaching to adults. And they can grow up with a whole bunch of pride and fall right into the condemnation of the devil. Okay, let's do another one here. That'll go over well. Look at Romans chapter 14. Let's look at another one. We're going to do a whole bunch. We'll just zip through these things tonight. You can think about the one that fits your ears a little bit. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Here are some reasons why people are turning away, moving away from the hope of the gospel. That last one is pride. Now we're looking at him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Okay, but not to doubtful disputations. Okay, disputation is a reason or argumentation in opposition to something or on opposite sides, controversy in words, verbal contest respecting the truth of some fact, opinion, proposition, or argument. In other words, you're not really sure. There are some things that it's like, well, you know, that kind of a thing. And when you're a brand new Christian, some of those things, you can give them the solid answer, and they still aren't going to understand some of that stuff. So that's what he's saying. Be careful, a brand new Christian. You don't just bring a brand new Christian in there and start hitting. I'm not good at that. I mean, I'll hit him with everything I can think of about Paul because it's such a joyful thing. Anyway, so no, there's that. So what do we have there? Well, we could have somebody who's weak in the faith that wasn't received by anybody. Why would they? Move away from the hope of the gospel because they were weak in the faith and they finally fell apart. Can you try to be there with somebody who's weak in the faith? These new people that get into Paul and they're just learning these things. It's hard to keep emailing and talk and to try to keep hands on them and stuff, but they're weak in the faith. They're new at this stuff. And if they don't have somebody to receive them, they can take off and hike after a while. I don't even like pal talk. I know we've lost people that have come to visit us, liked what we had to say, looked around on Pal Talk in the Christianity rooms and found a bunch of other gracers that are beyond grace, and they're grace abusers and all this kind of stuff. We lost them to them. That bothers me. But that's the only program we can find, I guess, to warn people about that. But then you got the other half here, but to doubtful disputations. You can put a chunk of meat in somebody that's brand new Christian and scare them away. I'm sure I've done that. You know, you got a piece of meat that tastes. Us dads are good about that anyway. When we have little babies around, our first child or our girls or something, we're just anxious to put a little Tabasco sauce on their tongue and just see how they handle it. You ever done that? Well, you're not going to say you have. I know better than to ask that kind of a question, but maybe you haven't. Maybe that's just me, I suppose. Wonder what Wonder what this little green sauce, just a little tip on Chloe.
Wonder what, just a little tip.
But it could cause some problems, I understand, because I hadn't done it. But we want to show some of these brand new Christians just big chunks of something sometimes. You have to be careful with that. We can drive them away. Let's look at another one. Romans 14:22. Here's another reason somebody could move away from the hope of the gospel. Romans 14, verse 22. They've heard for so many years that they need to do right. Stop sinning. And they can't stop sinning. And they get all depressed about things and whatever. There's one way to look at it. Romans 14:22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, one has to be careful that you're not just using the fact that we are no longer under sin. We can do things that we want to do and enjoy it. That's not what he's talking about here. You go back and read the context of chapter 14, 22, and it's talking about not causing somebody else to stumble. And sometimes you have to be around. This is hard. Sometimes you have to be around something that you're not comfortable being around because you don't want to cause them to stumble. You probably shouldn't be in that place in the first place, but those things show up. And you got to use judgment here. And you allow that thing to take place. Because if you'd have said something, you'd have caused huge, you've been in those kind of situations, you know. And then you go home and you feel just rotten as all get up because, I knew I shouldn't have been there. That's the first thing you got to say. I shouldn't have been there in the first place. But you caught in this thing and you didn't say anything. And I see that that's what this is talking about. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Because in the verses before that, you're not supposed to cause him to stumble either. See, here's another verse that we can use to hide behind that says we can go out and do those things. That's not what he's saying. If you had to be around something and you couldn't stop it, don't let it get you down. You've got faith. It's between you and God. Could you have said something? No, I couldn't have. Okay. Don't worry about it. Could you have said something? Yeah, I had a couple minutes. Now, feel rotten. That's when you need to feel rotten. If you didn't say something when you know you could have. But if you couldn't have, and you didn't, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So, now why would somebody turn away from the hope of the gospel? Because they get so tired of being in these situations all the time. I don't know what to say, I don't know how to say it, and you finally quit. They're tired of the stress of not being able to say the right thing to somebody, or you know you should have said something, but maybe you couldn't. I mean, honestly, you've been in situations where you really couldn't. You're at a funeral for your Catholic uncle. You're not going to be able to stand up and challenge the preacher, the priest. Now, excuse me. This is not right. He's not going to heaven based on his baptism, and you start making this big scene. No, you gotta sit there and take it. That's why I don't like going to funerals. By the way, remember Thomas? He's going into the funeral mortician business. He couldn't marry him, so now he's going to bury him. So he's studying that sort of a thing. So anyway. So that's Romans 14:22. That should be an encouraging verse. Don't let it get you down. Unless, of course, like I say, you are in places you can say something and you don't. So don't hide behind this verse either. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:17. Here's another one of the myriad? One of the many reasons why people are moving away from the hope of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:17. I could have combined this with another one, I suppose, but I didn't. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Well, if his ways aren't being taught, how are they going to know it? So they end up leaving. That's easy enough. I remember that thing about the blind heart? They're ignorant. In Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18. They're just ignorant. They don't know this stuff. How can somebody get the joy of Paul's teachings, the risen Savior, if nobody tells them? It's not being taught in any church. So, that's another reason I'll leave. Here's another one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's why some people have left. Maybe a misunderstanding, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Okay, so Paul is saying, listen, I'm not in charge of your faith. I'm not in charge of your life. I'm not in charge of your home. I'm not the guy. I'm not going to have a dominion over that thing. I'm here to help you with your joy. But we also know that Paul was preaching some situations where he caused sorrow. But it caused them to repent, and it got them to see some things the right way, and then they had the joy. So sometimes to be helpers of your joy takes some hard preaching. And that's what he talks about there. So again, another verse that you can say in an incorrect manner. See, they left because he tried to have dominion over their faith. No, he didn't. He just preached what Paul has told us to preach. He preached it a couple times. Maybe he aimed a little bit. Yeah, but is that dominion over anybody's faith? No, that's telling somebody who's told you, I can take it, and you find out that they can't. There's no dominion over anybody's faith over that thing. But there are pastors that do that. That's that pastoral, what do they call that? The landmark crowd. Where you've got to do everything in that church based on what your pastor approves. And you're going to take a loan out on a cow? You better check with your pastor. See if it's okay with him, because God will tell him that you shouldn't probably get that loan for that cow. That's how they operate. You want another child? We better call the pastor first. Do you think we should have some more kids? No, because you're not doing very good with the ones you have. Okay, thank you, pastor. There are pastors that believe that. A lot of that stuff. Pastoral authority. Where do they get that from? Hebrews 13, verse 17. Excuse me, Hebrews is what? Tribulation. It's not written to us. That's the only place they can get that. Which is one of the reasons pastors don't like to preach a rightly divided Bible. But anyway. Look at Jude. Jude verse 16. I know, tribulation verse. But we're going to see more and more of this is coming today. We've already talked about this. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantages. They like this person because of who he is. We're getting more and more of that today. Jude verse 16. That's a tribulation verse, but we're seeing these things get closer and closer, grow more and more. Then we read about people that are being beguiled with enticing words. There are those that says, such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. How do you know how not to be deceived in this church, by the way? How do you know that my words are not good words and fair speeches? You got a Bible right there. You can find out if I'm wrong. If you think I'm wrong, give me a call, show me some stuff, and I'll show you that you're wrong. Because you can do that with Paul. It's not complicated. It's a learning process. So anyway. So that thing where it talks about people have gave their dominion over their faith. They gave their faith up to somebody else to control for them. And when that person stumbles, so do they. Pastor quits, pastor dies, pastor has a heart attack, or whatever. They don't know what to do. They gave their faith over that preacher for those years. Sorts of things like that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 20 for another reason people are leaving, moving away from the hope of the gospel. Why are they leaving what Paul has to say? What's going on here? Well, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Another classic verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, how can that cause somebody to quit? Well, if you don't read your Bible, Christ can't tell you a thing. We've come to realize that this Word of God is how God speaks to us. And so when we know that we have Christ, and he says, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Christ is going to tell me what should do, what I should not do. So then they go through this life, not reading their Bible, or maybe reading some other Bible, or a bunch of Bibles put together, and they're letting Jesus put it together in their little mind is to read all these different books and watch all these different movies and studies and programs and Bible this and Bible that, and God just tells them, because I know Galatians says that Christ liveth in me and he's going to guide my way by my heart, by my circumstances, by my life. Just on this, I'm just going to know if I should or should not do this. And after a while you get burned a few times and finally you quit. Christ hadn't taught me a thing. Look at where I'm living. Look what's going on. I thought Christ was going to guide me. Yes, he is. Right there. That's the importance of the Bible. We see in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sure he is. He's going to work it through this book. That's why that Bible is so important to read. Let's look at another one, 1 Corinthians 13. We just got some more to go here. We're only on 35 minutes. And nothing going on at home but a bunch of dirt blowing through the cracks in your windows. So why go home and deal with that? 1 Corinthians 13:13. Why would some people leave the hope of the gospel? Because they believed that charity was the number one thing in their life as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So what's the answer to that? What did you learn Wednesday night? Go to what? Go to... Where do you go for that? 14:1. Next verse. Follow after charity. Sure, go for it. Desire spiritual gifts. Sure. But rather that you may prophesy. And then it goes through that thing. So preaching is still, that Bible is still outranks charity today. Because back in 1 Corinthians 13, three verses above that, verse 13, you've got that which has come. And now you got these three things. Charity is the greatest. But when that thing comes, that thing will outrank a charity. It has to outrank charity. And like Jeff said down there in Colorado, some people hide behind charity. They know what they should do, but they just claim charity and they don't deal with it. And like I said Wednesday night, for some of us, charity's coming back and biting us. And that's too bad. So we got that, and I'll look at Philippians chapter 1. The person who puts charity above everything else is not going to grow. He's not going to learn to make any of these judgments that we're supposed to learn and grow in. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We're supposed to grow in judgment and knowledge, that you may approve things that are excellent. You know what that takes? That takes more than charity. Sometimes you've got to step up to the plate and you've got to do what you've got to do. You've got to say what you've got to say, and you've got to stop something that needs to be stopped. And they're going to accuse you of not having charity. No, I'm going to do what's right. It's time to do something that's right. Be not deceived. What corrupts good manners? Evil communication. It isn't just a guy with a bad mouth. We got communication. We got evil communication in our homes. At least 1, 2, 3. Who knows? Any forms of communication. Radio, TV, videos, magazines, newspapers. I mean, you know. That just spreads the stuff. We have all that stuff in the house because of charity. We don't want to burn our kids and make them unhappy. No, you've got to deal with some things. Don't hide behind charity. Put that book above charity still. Let's look at it. Oh, this is... Okay, let's look at this one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. I got some verses. I'll just read these verses and keep my mouth sort of kind of shut. I mean, we're going through the dirty 30s again tonight, so nobody wants to hear a grumpy sermon. But here's a thought. Why are people moving away from the hope of the gospel? Because men are not as strong as they should be. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And I'll talk about me. Never was strong enough. I didn't read my Bible. I believe what people taught me. First, how do I do this? I followed a pastor. I followed him. Then one day in his office, I found his book on 5,000 illustrations. And it dawned on me that he'd never done all those things. He got those out of a book. That was my first shock. I found what they call a Bible concordance. Whoa, this is neat. He doesn't know all these Bible verses. He finds them in this book, which is, you know, it's okay. But I had lifted this guy too high. Okay, we got out of that situation, went to a church. I followed a church. This church is perfect. I've heard this church is perfect. So it didn't take long for me to figure out that this church was not perfect. We got cliques here, cliques here, cliques there. Good pastor, bad pastor, good kids, rotten kids. I mean, the whole thing. And then the church started to change its direction. I followed the church. I was shocked with that one. Then I got onto a man. I followed a man and his teachings. And then I really got out of that one. Like, boom, out of that thing. one little camping trip, I thought what all it was taking. No, it didn't take more than a camping trip, and it was like the gate was locked as I was flying out. That was fine to get away from a man's teachings. And then I started to read my Bible by myself. Isn't that a shocker? I remember what happened. I was doing a Scorby series of Scorby tapes. One tape in the morning and one tape at night. Went through the Old Testament. I got a whole bunch of sermons that I could write based on the Old Testament. Because that's a good sermon. Write that little thing down. Study this kind of stuff. Then I got into the other stuff. Wait a minute now. There's something weird here. Follow Paul, huh? And then there we go. You finally get yourself following that Bible. It's been hard ever since. It was a whole lot easier following a man. It was a whole lot easier following a church. It was a whole lot easier following, not the Bible. So now, what do we have today? Well, we need to study. Men, we need to study. We need to read this thing. Find some time to study and read this thing. Look at Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah still. Nobody says it in this department like Jeremiah does. Paul has some things where he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but then when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's what Paul says. He calls us men childish. Now, who wants to be called childish? I don't like that thought. Go ahead, look at Jeremiah 44. And then Paul also says that what's a child? A child is somebody who can be tossed to and fro. So if men, if we're able to go from doctrine to doctrine to doctrine, another pastor comes in here, gets you to believe that. Another pastor comes in, gets you to believe that. Somebody gets you a book, you start to believe that because you never read your Bible. You know, kind of a thing. You're a child. You're a mere child. That's what Paul says about it. That's bad enough. But I like Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah, you know, remember we talked about him a number of times. Verse 15. That's what we have today. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Whoa. And the men knew it. Ladies are going, uh-uh. We're not buying this, Pastor. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods. This is what's going on. Okay, look at Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50. Why are people moving away from the hope of the gospel? Because us men haven't been men that we're supposed to be. Jeremiah 50, verse 37. A sword is upon their horses. Now we have the Bible. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, so we know that's the Bible in our the way we look at a sword. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon the mingled spirit people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures. It's just a treasure is all. You got one in your glove compartment. You got one in your locker at school. You got one in your back seat of the car, you got one in your gun case, you probably got one in your fishing tackle, you probably got one reeks worms and stuff. The one I've got is just reeks worms, but they're there. And we've got this nice new, wide margin Bible. We've got a Jack Hiles Bible, or we got a Bible that's got every other page clear. We got all these fancy Bibles. But it's just a treasure to us. It's just a, what do we do with that thing? And how does it end up? It says, and they shall be robbed. So if we treat our Bible like it's a treasure, we've been robbed. That's what's happened to us. We've got some guys I'm going to try to talk to in a couple weeks. I know some of those guys have not read their Bible. They've had verses told them out of their Bible. I'll guarantee they haven't read their Bible. I'm going to challenge them on that. And it's probably just a treasure to them. And it says, you shall become as women. So that's not your sword for the war that's out there. That's your own personal sword for yourself. But it's just something, it's just a treasure. Look at chapter 51, verse 30. Why are people leaving the hope of the gospel? Because men haven't been men. Young men haven't grown up to be men. Jeremiah 51, 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken, etc., etc. Proverbs, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll jump right back to Paul with those thoughts. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 says what? For of this sort are they which creep into houses. And who do they lead captive away? The men? The women. Silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Where's the man here? Where was Adam? That goes all the way back to that thing. And you go back to Abram, and you go back to the guys that did, they followed, and you know, we haven't been the men we're supposed to be. We're children. We're capable of following the winds. Doctrine, the winds of doctrine. We're childish. Let's go to another one. Let's go to another reason people are choosing to move away from the hope of the gospel. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. People are leaving Paul because they're still caught up in the law. They just can't get rid of that law, which we sort of talked about this morning. We could probably combine that one over to that one. Galatians 3:12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So if you're going to try to follow the law, then you better follow the law. We see in Galatians 3:25. It says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You know what they still need? They still go back to the schoolmaster. What does America need to fix America? They need to go back to the schoolmaster. No, we don't need to go back to the schoolmaster. That's what the law is there for a lost person. Sure, that's fine. But do we want America to go back to Old Testament law? Do you want them to go back to the gospel law? No, America actually as a nation really needs to turn to the risen Savior. Really, it does. And with that risen Savior comes wisdom, comes the living God. And He would be glad to fix America if we started doing the things Paul preached. We'd actually have to have liberty too. America could be fixed. But you sure don't go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14 to fix it. You still don't go back to the law to fix this thing. You don't go back to Genesis. You don't go back to the creation to try to establish the way things were done in the garden. What are we going to do? Make the garden again? We can't, you know, that's crazy. There are people that are trying to get back to the law. Find out from the risen Savior that all things are lawful. But what would America do with that? We'd kill each other within a week. Robbing everybody's houses and killing each other. The whole, we'd go nuts. But that's what would fix America. Would it really? Yeah, it would. When they realize what Christ has done. That'd be another sermon to teach how that could take place. Anyway. Because see, there's still strings to that liberty that we have as Christians, right? Look at the liberty America should have had and apply those strings to American liberty. We wouldn't be losing the liberties we have. Because really, when you think about it, the government's doing what any government would do with a bunch of greedy people. $15 million for a bonus, what do you expect? Somebody's got to stop these guys. Unless, of course, I don't mean to interfere with your farm or anything, but has Dad received a $15 million bonus, anything like that? I mean, that wouldn't go over very well. He's capable. He deserves that. Nobody deserves $15 million. You know, 10 maybe. But no, that's a stumbling block. That's a power. That's a flesh. There's strings attached to Christ's liberty that if we were to attach those to the American, we'd have the same control. They'll be blown. Same thing Christians are doing. And what's America doing? Going back to the what? What are they doing? When they take away liberty, what are they doing? They're increasing laws. Because they think that we can make it better with laws. And what's Christians doing? What are Christians doing? They're going back to the law. Instead of that liberty that Paul preaches with strings. Oh, well. Let's see here. Let's go to... we got so many here. Let's go. No, that's not going to stir anybody here. That's not going to. That won't bother anybody. That's not going to bother anybody. Let's find those that'll bother people. Should we do that? Here's one. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. This ain't going to bother anybody either. What we're going to talk about? We've got a bunch in here yet. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's a good verse. And it says here in another one, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And yet we have people that say, those kind of verses tell me that God should be doing something in my life, and look what's happened to my life. So you know whose fault it is? It's God's fault. I had somebody tell me the other day that what's going on is the fault of the Bible. I actually thought that, and I think I see where they're going with that. But excuse me, this is the solution. This isn't what's caused everything. You know, indirectly it has, because the world doesn't want this. So yeah, somebody who wants to not believe this can blame this, but that's not the fault of God. It's not the fault of that thing, not at all. It says here in Timothy, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Why blame the Lord when he's still there with you anyway? Even when you go crazy, you just quit the whole thing. You know who's still there? Christ is still there. So there's no need to be blaming God or that Bible. Here's one. Let's go here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, he just couldn't take it any longer. He wants to know what was going on, Paul was. I sent to know your faith. Because by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. I have tried to teach you this, Paul says. I tried to teach him this. I tried to teach him that. I tried to get him to see this and do this and not do these things. And I wonder how they're doing. Oh, I need to find out. Because if they find out they didn't get it, then it was all in vain. You ever done a sermon or a Bible study within your home or a little Bible study for somebody else, and then they just... it was all done in vain. That's a terrible... You ever mothered in vain? You ever done something a mother... you know, that was in vain. After a bunch of those, you quit wanting to be the mother. Because what's the point? I'm doing it in vain. Whatever. Or a father, you know. Ever try to tell Austin and Sam how to do a certain thing on the tractor and they keep doing it wrong? I'm kind of curious, have you? And it's like, have you ever said something like this? What's the point of trying to teach you anything? You know, that was on range here. There we go. It was in vain. Okay, I wouldn't ever do this, but I'd like to do something sometime. Take a sermon that I think is just like this is a sermon, and preach that thing every Sunday and every Wednesday until everybody got it. How long would it take for somebody to realize, I think he's preached this before. That's why I don't want to do that, because I don't want to have somebody say, you know, 4 weeks into this thing, now that was a good sermon today. The whole thing was just a waste of time. You know? Look at all the kids I've taught music. And look where some of those kids have gone with their music. That was in vain. Was that in vain? You know? Anyway. Let's look at... keep reading it. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and got him. The world is going to tempt him. The devil is going to tempt him. And you want to know if you've done a good enough job, and you got to find out. And Paul needed to find out. So I have people left. Tempter got him. The temptations took him down. Okay. Oh, let's look at another one here. Let's look at... I always like this. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just a quick one. Verse 2. And he talks about, and sent Timotheus, right? Verse 2. Uh-oh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and sent Timotheus?
Yeah.
Nope, okay. I will use both lips next time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. What apparently happened with some folks, they moved away from the hope of the gospel. Why? Because they rejected Timothy. And Timothy was there for what? To comfort us for our faith, to establish us, and you reject Timothy, and you quit eventually. And Timothy's some tough stuff. I always talk about those kinds of things. Let's do this one here. Oh, sure, we can do this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Got a whole bunch out there, but I think we can wrap some of these up here pretty soon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank... Now, Sue, you were nodding your head up and down before I started the verse. You just knew I was going to have that one right, huh? Anyway. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Oh, good, because see, if your faith isn't growing, you're going to walk away from the hope of the gospel. Okay, so that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's good. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in what? Oh, serious? All your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So why are some people moving away from the hope of the gospel? Persecutions and tribulation. Who wants to be a mother in vain? Who wants to be a father in vain? Who wants to be a pastor in vain because it doesn't seem to work or whatever? Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that. Who wants to have somebody say the things that they say about you? I mean, we're supposed to be tough-skinned and all that kind of stuff. But you know, after a while, you get kind of tired of that stuff. You know, you just do, and you take off. You just, I'm tired of this stuff, that kind of a thing. No, don't let the persecutions and tribulations, we need to endure that stuff. And it's going to get harder. One of the reasons, who's on there, Sam? Repent is on there still, right?
Yeah.
Okay, one of the reasons this one man I told you about was so, he was in tears over the fact that grace, he's learning what grace really was, but he was also the fact that he said, I know this is going to split up our group. I know that some of the men aren't going to get this. They're not going to get this. And he was saddened over that. He wasn't angered. He wasn't going to blast them when he preaches at them Sunday or whatever. He was tearful because he knew that the joy of this grace and what Paul teaches is actually going to split up, he thinks, the group that they have. That's not enduring the persecutions and tribulations. These guys need to learn that stuff and not leave the group. But, you know, Kenny and... these guys, Kenny and Jason, it's going to be hard on them. The persecutions and the tribulation. Not because they're going to be preaching on the street, but because people they care about aren't going to get it, and they're going to say what they're going to say about them. That wears you down after a while. That's why some people are moving away from the hope of the gospel. They get tired of it. How about a couple more here? Let's see here. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy, I got it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Similar to what's going on here. But now it's Kenny and Jason and these guys, different guys. Brian, he's talking with people and all these people we talked to. Joachim down over there in Germany is going to have some struggles with some other Deutschers. That'll be a challenge for him, especially this pastor that he wrote. Who knows how that's going to go. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. The heat of the battle. Not just the persecutions and the tribulations, but the heat of the battle will cause some people to move away from the hope of the gospel. Verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And they were delivered unto Satan. They went off to the world. They couldn't stand it. Their faith, it just crumbled on them. And they went off to the world. Their lives are shipwrecks to this day. So there's that one. Look at 1 Timothy 2:15. Why would somebody crash in this verse over their faith and move away from the hope of the gospel? Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity. Now, one of those is faith. So, this whole childbearing verse, I won't get into this thing that deep at all, but childbearing isn't just having a kid. It's what happens on a regular basis that I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, is when the woman is most deceivable. On a monthly basis. And if they could just become aware of that, and the husband could become aware of that, and know that that's the most dangerous time in their life, then they could be deceived, and they could be taken away, they could be tricked, they could be pushed away, all sorts of things can happen during that time. So why are some of the people moving away from the hope of the gospel? The devil got her when they were weakest. That's as far as I'll go with that one. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just a couple more and then we'll be done here tonight. We're probably done with this series, I suppose. I don't know. There's more things here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Why would somebody move away from the hope of the gospel? Because they were despised in their youth, trying to do right, trying to talk right, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in their life, in charity, of course, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And if a youth, is there such thing as a youth? If the youth or a youthful person or a youther or whatever would try to do right, and we've got some folks out there, we've got Stephen, we've got Dan, young people, and they continue to get despised, they can quit. It's not worth it. It's not. You just get hassled all their whole life. They could walk away. How about 1 Timothy 5:8? But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, what could happen here? Why would somebody move away from the hope of the gospel there? Because it wasn't being provided properly. And they got to take off. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. Having damnation because they cast off their first faith, and withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, keep children, bear children. Yeah, you got to keep the children. Bear children. I read this again here. Younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. What's the deal there? Why have some people left the hope of the gospel? For a career. For a job. They need to be home with their children. It's a family. They need a career for that sort of thing. That's why some of them have left. For a career. Or trained to get into a career, and then when they finally get married and they got the man, they don't want to give up the career. Why do we put him in that position? But anyway, we'll leave that alone. I haven't got any more 10-foot poles, so... let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Another reason. These are quick ones. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Why do people want to move away from the hope of the gospel? They're tired of fighting. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. That's easy enough. Look at verse 20. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. You know what people did in those two verses? They followed profane and vain babblings. That was easy enough. But they also follow something else in there. What's that? Science. Evolution. The technical explanations of how there was a certain star about 2,009 years ago that we've discovered in the eternal galaxies out there with our bubble telescope out there, that about 2,009 years ago, there was an extra bright star over in Israel. And it just... So that really, that's how God used that star. No, God just went... There's no science necessary there. How did those guys get across the Red Sea? Well, there was a certain monsoon wind that came in and comes every couple of years there. And there is a land bridge there, which is true. I believe that there is a land bridge underneath that thing. But it's deep enough that you can't walk across it, you know. And so this marvelous wind came up and it just kind of blew all the lake up so it stood up like this. Now, have you ever seen a wind do that? We've had some really serious winds around here. And do I want a quick run down to the Columbia in the car and see if the water's up like this? It's like I walked over to Finley. Going to walk over and see Goat Grandma too? No, the wind's not going to do that. But that's science, see? That's what they think. It's crazy. Anyway. I mean, it's okay to study what happens if you put vinegar in with baking soda. You know, when Dad's asleep and the girls get together at night about 2 o'clock in the morning and you have all this great big huge box from Costco of baking soda, right? Baking soda. And then you take this big jug of vinegar. You mix all this stuff in the kitchen sink. Put a good drain down there. And then you pour the stuff in there and step back. And then watch what Daddy thinks. That's a scientific experiment. That's good. Not in that context, but that's not what he's talking about here. So anyway, so there's that one. Boys, don't do that. You girls can do it, but don't you boys do that out there. Oh, I think we can probably do one more here. What do we got here? We got that one. We got let's go to this one. 2 Timothy 3:10. We'll finish with this one. 1:05. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Why would somebody walk away from the hope of the gospel, move away from the hope of the gospel based on that verse? What didn't they know? They didn't fully know yet what Paul has to tell them. They quit early. They gave up. Man, don't give up. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Well, we're not doing bad in that department. Manner of life. That's still a struggle. Purpose. We know his purpose and what our purpose should be. Faith. Yes, his faith. Our faith can grow. Long suffering. That's challenging. Charity. That's all mixed up in people's lives. Patience. Persecutions. Afflictions. We're not there yet. We're all capable of moving away from the hope of the gospel. But I think that we're standing pretty strong, but we're all still capable of it. Hope it doesn't happen. If you're looking for a reason, here's some reasons. And they're free. God even gave them to you. But don't let those things get you. Don't move away from the hope of the gospel. That's Paul's gospel. That is marvelous stuff. See if you can't pass it on to somebody else. Amen. There you go.